Do you lead an organization, a business, a company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com. S-I-M-A International. For 50 years, they're experts in retained search, talent management, and personalized coaching. Check out SEMAInternational.com. Well, here we go again on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to welcome my partner, Marlis Hansen from SEMA International, with me on the line. How are you today, Marlis?
Just fine, thank you.
Terrific. Well, I just couldn't be better. You know, people who may be just now tuning into our show for the first time, I'll ask them where in the world they've been, but introduce Marlis. Marlis is a real expert in a technology that allows us to help people see what their truly deeply gifted patterns are in their lives, opportunities to really understand how they can apply that to career instances as well as personal situations. And our topic today, Marlis, caught up with this great phrase of, you know, why do smart people make dumb job or career decisions, right?
Well, and you know, this it's just kind of a way to try to get attract people to this issue, you know, and get their attention about, you know, a really important subject. I mean, we see so many people suffering the consequences of getting into the wrong job, the wrong career, mm-hmm. and just, you know, really competent individuals getting going down the wrong path. And it's really quite tragic considering that there is something that can be done about this. I mean, it's not an impossible situation that can't be, you know, corrected.
But that actually, you know, as you and I know, because we work together with clients in this very space, that many times employees that are viewed as performance problems, when it comes down to it, it really is an issue of job fit.
Absolutely. And that there is just, you know, an incredible amount of data out there that confirms this job mismatch as being a major problem. And, you know, some of the really reputable researchers, like, for example, the Gallup Management Journal, has some interesting statistics out on job mismatch, you know, reporting that there's really only 29% of employees that are actively engaged in their jobs.
Right.
You know, these are people that really feel passionate about their work and feel like there's a profound connection to their company. And to contrast to that, 54% of employees are not engaged. I mean, these are folks that are, you know, essentially checked out and just kind of are sleepwalking through their workday or putting their time in, and they're just, you know, not getting much out of their work and certainly not putting much into it. And then a really kind of, I think, astounding figure is that 17% of employees are actively disengaged.
Yes, exactly.
And these individuals, you know, they report are really acting out their unhappiness and kind of undermining their engaged coworkers, you know, and distracting and taking up the manager's time and just lots of you know, behaviors that are really not constructive at all. So really some astounding numbers that, you know, confirm this job mismatch problem. And then if you go to the college students, I mean, there's some interesting numbers there, too, about how the average length of time required to complete a bachelor's degree has been increasing, you know, over the last several years from, yeah. you know, where we expected individuals to do that in about 4 years, that now, depending, it's kind of a range depending on the colleges that you look at, but it can run from 5.3 to 5.7 years to complete a four-year degree. And the reason for that is that many individuals, of course, change their majors.
Right, exactly.
And you know, you think of the costs, both financial and just psychological, and in many cases, it's a self-esteem kind of issue when individual has changed a major a couple of times, and many individuals, you know, don't even finish because they get lost there somewhere between, you know, not coming up with a major that really connects them.
Yeah, never mind that many times the major might not be relevant to the intended job they would go after, but that's a whole other subject, isn't it?
That's right. So, you know, all of these kinds of things, plus just the real vulnerability that individuals place themselves in when they are in roles that don't fit them. Because as we know from working with people, you know, during these many layoffs and downsizings that we've had the last few years, that many of the most vulnerable folks are those who are, you know, in roles that don't fit them. So they're
And then in fact, really, when they step out, even though one might think now they can get some lift under their wings to go after where they could really fit well, but they've just put layer upon layer of lack of confidence and not even knowing then where they could possibly go.
Right.
And what would they want to be?
And that makes them, you know, less competitive when they go to interview because they don't have the confidence, you know, that will carry them and you know, convince their interviewer that they're really the person for the job. I mean, these are just compounding kinds of issues that occur when individuals are in job or career situations that don't match their talents.
Well, you know, someone will be quick to jump to conclusions then as to, well, what was the cause of this? You know, was I forced to become a lawyer because my dad was a lawyer?
Or, right.
You know, right. Was there something else that was driving me that would let me lose sight of who I really am?
And we know that these decisions, whether they're made by the individual or the employer who's, you know, selecting the person or the parent who's trying to guide a student or, you know, a son or daughter, that often the criteria that are used are the potential of salary in a career or maybe the availability. I mean, we all know how many people got into computer-related careers when that
sure.
was the hot topic.
Right.
And how many got out of it later on when they found out that it really wasn't for them. And role models. I think today that's another factor in making these, you know, inaccurate decisions. Individuals take a look at someone they see as being successful and think they can emulate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all ways that we, you know, get off track. And underneath all of that is really the failure to understand and really respect the nature and power of innate motivation. Most people do not understand that they possess this set of powerful motivations that really shapes and drives their performance. And so they are making really ill-informed decisions about jobs and careers because they don't have the knowledge and the appreciation of the power of these innate motivations.
Well, and I think we also fall into a trap here that on one hand is what built this fine country of ours, and that is the land of opportunity, that you can be and do anything, you know, or the fact that, you know, employers feel that, well, we've got training and skills abilities that we can reshape people so long as they might have X percent of what we want, and that still life will be good. And in both those instances, you fall short.
Well, that's right. I mean, this idea that, you know, we're putty to be molded into whatever we want to be or whatever our employers want us to be just doesn't work that way. I mean, we have a design and we have a set of motivations that we really need to engage in order to be motivated and to be able to exercise our talents. And if that match isn't there, it just doesn't click for anybody.
Well, and what we would say, of course, the solution to the problem, whatever the cause would be, is, gee, how do we match the talent to the task?
Right. How do we learn enough about the individual so that we really have evidence on which to make an informed decision about the kind of work that's going to match that talent? And that's where our assessment, this system for identifying motivated abilities, really helps the individual to see how this evidence recurs in their life work achievements. And the process that we take them through really is a way of holding a mirror up to their, achievements, their efforts that have occurred from childhood through grade school, high school, all throughout their life work that, utilizes these motivations. And the stories really, put them in context, but the themes are there that can be, just tremendous predictors and provide guidance for what will be motivating for them in the future.
Well, and what's so clear, too, is if we get the chance to have people tell us their stories, whether they pick 3 stories or 13 stories, you start to see the evolution of this pattern that really doesn't change over time, does it, Marlis?
That's right. And we not only see it as, analysts in this field, they can see it.
Yeah.
They can see that, when they were running the lemonade stand, when they were 6, they were utilizing many of the same motivations that they are now, working in their new marketing position.
And
there's just endless, stories that convince people. It kind of builds a really strong face validity for the assessment because the individual themselves can see those recurring themes in their stories.
Well, in fact, that's probably the most important place to start, is that at the end of the day, each one of us are really the masters of our own destiny. So to be able to really kind of bring forth the voices that we have, inside our own spirit, but then also to see how, for our listeners who are managers, how having the ability and the understanding to ask those questions and then to listen for stories amongst your employees and then help them make the right career decisions so that there's fit is so important.
And to help the manager to understand the nature of the assignment that's really going to engage that employee, and not to just assume that because he has 20 engineers, for example, reporting to him or her, and thinking they're all engineers, so they're sort of all interchangeable parts, right? And so that they could be moved from design positions to research positions to marketing positions, and they'll be able to accommodate the needs of those different roles, rather than really trying to recognize the unique talent that each one of them brings to that particular profession.
Right. Well, Marlis, we might want to share with the listeners some of the type of client projects that we've had an opportunity to do then.
Okay. Well, starting with looking at individuals for as a starting place, what are the kinds of issues that sometimes we've been able to help resolve? And I think of an individual I worked with just this last week, who was a mid-career accountant and had a graduate degree in accounting, had worked about 10 years in his field, and had really found it harder and harder to turn in an acceptable performance. And in his last position, he was actually asked to leave. And so he took the time to really, sit back and say, okay, what's happening here? Why isn't this working for me? Because, he'd been
great track record, yeah.
Yeah, and couldn't understand kind of what was going on. And when we looked at the achievements that he reported from over his life and work, and even during his time as an accountant, there was a great deal there were several examples about him really liking to teach, teaching his colleagues, teaching the customers, teaching the clients something about accounting. And his last position had been particularly restrictive because he had been on a computer working primarily on reports and just having very little client interaction and opportunity to do this teaching. And it kind of put him in, a very bored employee mode. And, of course, his performance then began to suffer. So, luckily, at his the same firm, he was able to negotiate for a role where he really did that, where his responsibility really was teaching other consultants about, more complicated financial services that they would then be selling.
Which, of course, at a time like this, you couldn't ask for anything probably more, you know, beneficial to the firm that someone wanted to step in and do the teaching, because you can bet your bottom dollar that most of the agents wanted no part of that.
Well, that's right. And yet a very important time.
Critical.
And very important to the business. And so just a really great example of being able to make a career change, within one's own organization that is a, you know, results in much better, you know, it's very mutually beneficial, you know, for individual and the organization.
Well, one thing I know we're also mindful to do when we do this system for identifying motivabilities with people is that this is not a judgmental experience. It's one that's learning-based to allow participants and their supportive managers and organizations to reveal information to help them. And in that context, then, it's about playing to our strengths, but also then stepping up and managing our limitations, right, which we all have.
Well, that's right. It is, you know, one of the unique features of CIMA is, of course, that it's not a deficiency assessment. It's a fit assessment.
Fit, exactly.
It's looking at the strengths and then matching them to roles that you critical use those, you know, talents to perform the critical requirements of the job. But everybody has some portion of their job that doesn't fit. And we always say if 70% of your job fits your talents, you're in very good shape. That will work. You know, you can manage the other 30% maybe by teaming up with someone else who does complement, you know, your particular motivations, or with extra structure. Sometimes, you know, developing a structure will help you to ensure that you actually perform what you need to in those areas that are your limitations, or negotiating maybe with someone else to do some shifting.
Absolutely, yeah. And or if in the case of the manager who suddenly realizes he's really not good at coaching, that maybe by setting up team leaders who could also provide that coaching, he's got additional partners to spread that responsibility.
Yes, and that helps the organization too, because he's identifying or she's identifying some leadership talent there that then gets developed. And so his or her replacement is being, you know, developed. And so, it's kind of everybody winning by recognizing the fact that, you know, he or she may not be motivated themselves to do that work.
But that there's ample opportunity. Well, you know, to answer that question, why do smart people make dumb job or career decisions? I think we'd wrap up by saying, quite frankly, they may be equipped with this kind of personal insight.
They just do not recognize.
They don't see it.
Yes. And it's not something that has been taught in our schools. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, we've probably been taught, you know, we can do anything we want to do
right.
If we work hard enough. And it just as a society, we're just finding individuals are very unaware of this powerful role that innate motivations play in our performance, in our sense of feeling like we're doing something that is meaningful and purposeful.
And essentially, really, we want it so that people can actually be more of who they are, not less. Well, Marlis Hansen from CIMA International, as always, thanks a lot for the insight today. Have a great balance of the day, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Zara.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon. We'll have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.